hand of praise right now. Hallelujah. Are we holding on to his promise? Hallelujah. We serve a God who can be trusted. Amen. He keeps his promises, and we're holding on to what he said. Good afternoon. Hallelujah. I bring you greetings. Hallelujah. From Greater New Life. I'm Dr. Scott, and I just want to first say thank you. You guys are beautiful. I mean, this house is a great spirit. Amen. I feel so loved and welcome. I apologize for being a few minutes late. I honor you, Pastor. Thank you for having me. I thank you, First Lady. It's nice meeting you for the first time. All of you guys, I just feel the love. Good to see you, Dr. Jackson. Wonderful. And I got a shout out to Dr. Kathy Jenkins and the flagship. They brought some of the people here. It's because of Dr. Kathy Jenkins, and she gave me the invitation, and she connected us together. So I just want to say thank you first and foremost. I love Jesus. I'm a believer. I love God. And I believe in his word. I believe in his promises. I believe in the Holy Spirit. I believe that he saved me and sanctified us for his purpose and for his pleasure. And he has given us all an assignment. Hallelujah. And I'm honored to stand in his stead right now and just communicate what I believe he has given me to give to you. Amen. So I'm asking for your prayers. Amen. Because, you know, I really, really prayed about this message for a while. When I first got saved, the first scripture God ever gave me, the first scripture was 1 Corinthians 15:58. Be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. The first scripture he gave me. That scripture has a promise with it, and we're going to talk about it today. Before we do anything, I want to pray. Hallelujah. Just invite the Holy Spirit to continue to have his way, because he's certainly in the room right now. I won't be before you long. I'm going to go how the Lord gives me to go. I ask for your prayers. Amen. First time in the house, but not my first time serving Jesus and worshiping him and bringing a word from him for his people. So I ask you, amen. If I talk a little fast, just say, slow on down. I do get excited, but I believe that the Holy Spirit is going to minister a word to you today, and I'm looking forward to being his vessel to give it to you. So if you don't mind, please stand on your feet as we go before the Lord in prayer. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you for your presence even right now. Holy Spirit, you're already in here. Hallelujah, God, as the songs have gone forth, Father God, the scriptures, the poem, the prayers, Father God, you're so welcome. Hallelujah. We welcome your abiding presence in our life. We welcome you, Holy Spirit, to do a new thing. Hallelujah, Father God, we've come to worship you. We've come to be blessed. We've come to be inspired. We've come to go higher. We want to hear from you, Holy Spirit. We know we can't do anything without you, but with you, Lord, all things are possible to those that believe. You've given us a charge today, Father God, and we want to keep the charge, but we need your help. Some of us are tired, God. Some of us have been barely hanging on, God, weary in the journey, Father God, but you've come, hallelujah, to encourage us and inspire us and give us hope, hallelujah. Fill us again with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Ignite us with fire on high, God. Put a pep in our step, hallelujah, God. Give us a desire to seek you even more in our Bible study time, our personal devotion, hallelujah, that we may hear and do what you have commissioned us to do. I thank you for the word that shall go forth. I thank you that you will be blessed. I thank you the devil will be horrified as the people of God are inspired. In Jesus' name, I pray. Hallelujah. Amen, amen, amen. Hallelujah. If you have your Bible, as I first stated, we're going to be looking at 1 Corinthians 15:58. And the topic that I came up with, I just thought it was, you know, it's very simple. Don't quit. Just don't quit. Keep pressing. Keep going forward. Keep moving forward. Don't quit. The enemy is so quick. Hallelujah. To tell you it's not working. You're not being appreciated. No one even sees what you're doing. You're going to that church again. You're going to pray again. You're going to trust God again. Yes, I am. Because I know in whom I believe. I know what he called me to do and what he called me to be. And I'm going to trust my Father. And so that verse reads in the King James Version. It says, therefore, my beloved brethren and sister, and it is Women's Day, y'all. It says, be steadfast, Be immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much, very important, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Hallelujah. I welcome you to highlight that in your Bible, commit it to memory, because the reason why we do what we do is unto the Lord. Hallelujah. It's the Lord who's going to reward us and give us our reward in Jesus' name. And so when I was thinking about this particular passage, I was thinking about what was going on in Paul, why he wrote it in the first place. In Corinthians, y'all know the church of Corinth. Amen. They had a lot of stuff going down. Paul took 15 chapters to address some issues that were going down up in that particular church house. Amen. Just like today. Ain't nothing new under the sun. You know, the enemy likes to call confusion. Amen. And this way they had, you know, it was a very prosperous city, that particular part of town. You had a port, you know what I'm saying? So they had a lot of traffic coming in. They had a lot of culture, a lot of wealth, a lot of influence. And with that, they had a lot of moral confusion and spiritual compromise. Like us today. Amen. You know, we're influenced. We're in Los Angeles. You know, we live in the capital. I mean, you know, people love to look at us and see what we're doing. And we sometimes seem like we deviated from what the Lord originally called us to do and be. Amen. And so when they're looking at us, we have to stay in the word and not go according to the world. Amen. Because it's not popular, but the way of the Lord is right. Amen. And so in the middle of that culture, Paul was writing to the believers to encourage them not to go left, but to stand firm in the word that they heard. And what was really amazing, because in the 15th chapter that he was talking, some of them were starting to question whether Jesus was even raised from the dead. I mean, I said they had a lot of stuff going on, but now they're even doubting if Christ was even risen. And so he's like, wait a minute, wait a minute. If Christ hasn't risen from the dead, then what we're doing is all in vain, right? Oh, my goodness. You know, so he's even addressing the foundation for what they're actually believing. Amen. So he gets the house in order. You know what I mean? He takes time and he addresses all the different issues that are going on in that particular church. So when you get to the last verse, he's already covered 15 chapters. And that's why he's saying, therefore. Okay? Now that we got it straight. Now that we know Jesus really did die, and he really is risen from the dead, and now that we know the word of God can be trusted, tried, and true, now that we got an understanding, let me go back and deal with you, okay? Because I need you to be steadfast. I don't need you to be tripping. I don't need you to be shaking. I need you to stand for Jesus. Hallelujah. I need you to trust in the God that has saved you and called you and be committed to the assignment that he has given you. Amen? Be steadfast. Steadfast, let me tell you, I never like to assume we all know what the words mean, okay? So steadfast, it has to do with being firmly planted and grounded in faith, even when life becomes difficult. Even when you have a challenge, even when you're not quite sure what's going on, okay? You're not going to be moved. You're going to be planted. You're going to be like that tree planted by the rivers of water. You know, I shall not be moved. We used to sing that back in the day. You know, I shall not be moved. Even when life comes difficult. Amen. I think often, you know, when I minister, I usually tell on myself, tell on my personal stuff, so y'all just know that's how I do. And so, you know what? There's been so many times in my life when it just seems like it wasn't going the way it's planned. I thought it was going to work out this way. Amen. And everything went left. And now I'm facing a situation I had not accounted for. Amen. You got the enemy in your head saying, see, you shouldn't have did that. Now look at you. Now, what about now? What you gonna do now? I'm gonna trust God. I'm gonna keep trusting and believing God. Because the same God that brought me out before can bring me out again. I'm gonna be steadfast. Unmovable. Unmovable means not to push out of your position. Don't push out of your position in Christ because you got hardship and pressure. Once again, this all has to do, the enemy's trying to hit you out of position. And God is saying, stand fast. Stand fast. Don't move. Don't move. Don't move. I got you, right? And then once you know that you're planted, now I need you to abound. Don't just stand there. Hallelujah. We want you to abound. That means I want you to continue serving God faithfully
with abundance. I want you to do more than you did last year. I want you to move forward. I want you to stretch. I want you to dream and believe me for something that I put in your spirit that I can do if you would release your faith and trust me. Amen. I want you to abound in the work of the Lord. Amen. This is about, you know, you got to go back to the Great Commission. Think about it. What was the Great Commission? What did he tell the church to do? Go out, right? Be, win, make disciples of all people, right? You know, nothing's changed. God has not changed the assignment. Sometimes we get old and we get tired and we get weary and we don't see the results. Our job is to be a light. We're to shine in dark places. And so if you're like, oh, God, it's so dark out here. You know, I don't even want to be here. Well, that's why he sent you. You're the light. They're supposed to see you. You're the witness. That's why he sent you. We like being comfortable. You know what I'm saying? I like you. I like being comfortable, okay? And I'm like, oh, I didn't sign up for this. Yes, you did. Yes, you did. He sent you into the world to be a witness. Amen. He wants you to abound in good works. I got some examples for you. Trust me, trust me, trust me. And it says, for as much as you know, your labor is not in vain. We're going to talk about it a little bit. You know what I'm saying? Because if you start thinking, why am I doing this again? You got to remember why you're doing it. You're doing it because this is not your final resting place. And one day you're going to meet the Lord. And you want him to say, well done, not well. Well, what happened? I gave you everything you needed to do the job. What happened? Okay, he don't want to hear all that, okay? We have everything we need to be committed, to be faithful, to be steadfast. We can do it with him. We sing the songs, oh, I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. Until he asks you to do something you ain't never done. And he will, because he wants your dependency to be in him, not on you. Amen. We trust in God. And he never gives you an assignment. He never asks you to do a responsibility without giving you the ability to respond. Amen. So if he's asking you, he's equipped you, and he's going to be with you. You're not doing it by yourself. Amen. I remember, God, just recently, I got a book coming out. I got a book coming out, and it's called The Path of Obedience. And the reason why I wrote that book, because about 20-plus years ago, I was working a job. You know, it's pretty good. I was okay. I'm fine. I'm going to church doing what I'm supposed to do, and the Lord challenged me. He said, okay, I'm going to need you to come out of the boat. I need you to step out them comfortable waters and come follow me. I said, you want me to do what? I'm single. I don't have no, what are we going to do to pay the bills? How are we going to work? What are we going to do? You know what I'm saying? And I talked to different ones, and my pastor, and the word just kept jumping out. Because when God gives you a word, he will confirm it. Amen. And he will give you the faith. And you get to choose whether you're going to abound or you're going to stay where you are. Amen. We want the great testimonies, and we want, use me, Lord. Use me for your glory. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. We say it, and we mean it until he challenged you to do what you ain't did before. And he said, come on in. And I'm like, I'm not going in. Hey, you know, I'm just saying. It do sound good on Sunday when we're all together. It's wonderful. But God, and I'm not saying he's going to ask anybody to do something like that. He might just ask you to be a witness on your job. Can you take a track? Can you just give your neighbor a high? You know, the one you don't like, the one that's too loud, you know. Can we deal with those that don't look like us without turning up our nose? I mean, can we show the love of God? I mean, he starts with basic steps. And we're so fervent when we pray. But we got to, you know, faith is an action. It's not a feeling. It's not a feelings or indicators, they're not dictators. I'll say it again, because my feelings feel like I don't feel like doing this, so we just don't do it. But my faith said, because this is the way God is leading me, then I'm going to do it because I honor him and I obey him. Amen. He's the final decision. Amen. The word. So let me give you some examples of people who faithfully endured. And of course, the first one I got to talk about is Jesus, the Son of God. Let's just paint this picture, y'all. He's up there in heaven. Amen. The Lord says, listen, he sees what Adam does, you know. Okay, I'm going to need someone to go and take the place, okay, because man don't messed up. And they got to be reconciled back to me, and I need a body. And the Lord says, okay, prepare me a body. I'll go. He volunteers to leave heaven, take on a physical body, become a man, and suffer. And suffer. The Bible says in Hebrews 5 and 8, though he was a son, he learned obedience by the things which he suffered. Amen. He didn't get a pass because he's the Son of God. He went through. The Bible says we have a high priest that can be touched with the feelings of our infirmities. He knows what it's like, but he chose. Amen. He chose to humble himself and become obedient even until death. And the Bible says God raised him up, right? Gave him a name above every name, because there's a reward when you choose to do what God tells you to do. Amen. 1 Peter 4 and 1 says, okay, now you see what Christ did. Write it down. 1 Peter 4 and 1. For as much then as Christ has suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourself likewise with the same mind. In other words, if the leader went through, you're going to go through. If they love me, Jesus said, if they love me, they're going to love you. If they hated me, they're going to hate you. Okay, be prepared. Okay, but I got you. In this life, you shall have tribulations. You can't pray them all away. Amen. He says, but be of good cheer. I've overcome. Amen. He balances it. He tells you the truth, but he says, I got you. I'm in you. And me and you, we're the victors. We win. Now, thanks be unto God, which giveth us the victory and always causes us to triumph in Christ Jesus. See, it don't matter what the enemy trying to throw at you. Amen. You got someone who's with you, and he knows how to deliver you. So because it's Women's Day, I wanted to bring out some examples of a few women who refused to quit. And I was asking God, I said, what you want me to say? Lord, when I tell you he gave me three women that blessed me, I hope it blessed you, because I didn't even know they were there, to be honest. But y'all got your Bible, you can write it down. But in Exodus chapter 1, amen, Exodus chapter 1, this is before, you know, before Paul ever wrote these big words, before Jesus ever came and died. In Exodus chapter 1, there are two women that are midwives. They're midwives. And they received a commandment from Pharaoh. And he says, listen, I want y'all to kill. I want you to kill the baby boys. You know, these Hebrews, they keep multiplying all around. As every time I turn around and see all these Hebrews, we got to do something about this, population control. So this is what I want you to do. When you see the Hebrew woman's getting ready to birth a baby boy, I want you to take the baby boy and I want you to kill him. That's what he said. And these two midwives, Shifra, and I think I pronounced it right. Let me say it. Let me look at my notes real quick. I'm going to spell it. Shifra, S-H-I-P-H-R-A-A, Shifra and Pua. Shifra and Pua. I had never even heard of them, okay? And let me tell you how great. Their names are listed, but the king, the Pharaoh, they don't even list his name. You know why? Because these two women chose to honor God. They chose to fear God, regardless of what the command was. They feared God. Hallelujah. And when they were brought before him, he says, how come you didn't do it? How come you didn't do what I said? They said, hey, you know, those, they're not like the Egyptians. When we get there, they're already produced. You know, because their motive was is they honored God, and God honored them, and he gave them households of their own because they chose to obey God in spite of what the command was. Amen. Listen here. And I was doing my notes because, you know, Moses was going to be born. How do you know? If they had thrown away them babies, the next generation is going to birth Moses. Can't even get there because, you know, they've been killed. Amen. But God chose these two faithful women. And when you really think about it, think about Moses' mother. Because by this time, then Pharaoh said, okay, I must tell everybody, all the Egyptians, just go on and kill the Hebrew boys. And her mother, his mother, said, I'm going to hide my blessing. You ain't killing my baby. Another woman who defied the orders, right? And then she trusted God, put that baby in a basket, amen, and sent his sister to go watch and see what becomes. And God touched the heart of Pharaoh's daughter. First time in scripture you see the word compassion used. She had compassion because she heard the baby crying. Look how God is using these women. Amen. Moses grew up in the same household that was commanding his death. That's because of obedience, because someone decided to be steadfast. Someone decided not to be moved by what the Pharaoh said. I'm going to do what God says. And God honored them. And we have a deliverer that was born. Amen? Hallelujah. The courage preserved a generation of Hebrew children, including the generation that would later produce Moses, the deliverer of Israel. They were steadfast and unmovable. But I said, Lord, I hear you. And that's some great examples that I never seen. But I need one for us. Come on now. We just finished Black History Month. And they said Christian women. I need a Christian. And I want a black woman that's gone through a little something that we can identify with, right? Honey, you know what God gave me? Biddy Mason. I never really heard of Biddy Mason till I started studying, but I want you guys to look up Biddy Mason. Biddy Mason, right? Biddy Mason was born into slavery in 1818. 1818, she was born into slavery, and her owner, at one point in his life, became a Mormon. So he decided he was going to move from Mississippi, come on over here to California. Now, because of the traditions of that time, she wasn't allowed to ride in the wagon. So her and her family, she had three daughters at the time. Her husband had been taken. And the slaves that were with him, they walked from Mississippi all the way to California. Yes, they did. It took 18 months. And they walking. This is a Christian woman. She was a devout Christian woman. She's walking, right? She was also a midwife, FYI, y'all. So when she gets to California during that time, which I think is really unique, because in 1950, California became a free state. So when they started off, it was a slave state. But by the time she got there, it was a free state. And let me tell you how good God is. Hallelujah. The black people that were there, they went and filed petitions in the courthouse. And they took it to the judge. And the judge declared that landlord, that owner, unconstitutional, and they were emancipated, and they got free, okay? So she's 38 years old now. So you figure most of her life at this point, she's lived as a slave. She served as a midwife. She could have been bitter because she was a believer. She done walked 1,700 miles on foot. No one knows what she went through, right? But she didn't become bitter. Remember, she's a Christian. And the word of the Lord is not only to be steadfast, immovable, but to always abound, go higher. So when she got free, let me tell you what she did. Blew me away, y'all. Let me tell you. So she was a midwife. So she still served in that capacity. And then she became a nurse. As she became a nurse, she served others, those who could pay her and those who couldn't. She was just a good Christian lady, right? 10 years after her freedom, she decided to go buy some land. Saved her money. She lived in Los Angeles. Bought some property down there in Spring Street in Los Angeles. Hallelujah. Then all of a sudden, now she's renting property. And she is still helping those in her home. The money that she used and the land that she garnered, she decided that we didn't have no church. So she donated the land. And then she took her money and she paid for the construction of the first African Methodist Episcopal Church of Los Angeles. Okay? During that time when it was being built, she would have prayer meetings in her home. She would help the poor. She kept, just because she was rich, because now she's amassing money because she's buying property and she's getting people who are renting from her. And she's wealthy now. Okay, but she turned all of that money back in to going back and helping and doing the work of the Lord. She's abounding. Let me tell you what happened. By the time she dies, because she dies at 73 years old, right? She was worth approximately $300,000 in that time, which is millions of dollars today, okay? And she was known as one of the wealthiest women in Los Angeles. I said a black woman who was a slave, who put her trust in God and kept serving God in spite of the situation that she felt. She decided that she was going to abound in the works of the Lord. She was going to use her means, hallelujah, to bless other people. Amen. And it's so great because, you know, even right now there's a park in LA named after her, right? And let me tell you what I really discovered, because y'all heard of the Azusa Revival. Let me tell you, the same property that she built, the same church that she built, they moved out. But guess who moved in? Yeah, William Seymour. Several years later, at the beginning of the century of 1906, there was a prayer meeting going on. The Holy Spirit fell. They outgrew what was happening on Bray Street, moved over to the property that was used to be owned by Biddy Mason and her church. And do you know the Azusa Revival took place there? Hundreds of millions of people were saved. Hallelujah. And God used that land. He used that property. Hallelujah. The birthing ground where they were holding prayer meetings and hallelujah, and giving to the poor and the sick. Hallelujah. That's what God decided to use. Hallelujah. Bring this nation. People all over the world came to that spot that God had birthed out through a slave woman who decided to give her life to Christ and abound in the work of God. Hallelujah. We don't know what God wants to do with our lives. Hallelujah. A lot of times we're so focused on what has happened to us, our the pain and the injustice and what we see and what has been done to us. But when we decide to let it go, hallelujah, let God heal our hearts and then say, for God I live, for God I die. You can use me for the rest of my life. I'll serve you. That's what we sang. For the rest of my life, I'm going to serve you. For the rest of my life, I'm going to keep on trusting you. Whatever that looks like, whatever that means, I'm going to give my life to you, Lord, that you can use me for your glory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm almost done, y'all. But I have to go here. I have to go here because I was thinking about Paul and his final words. Remember, he was the one who wrote that to the Corinthians. And y'all know Paul's life. Oh, Lord, have mercy. Oh, Lord, he suffered. He suffered for the work of Christ. He built churches and hallelujah. He helped so many people with his writings, 13 books, 14 churches. He did so much for the Lord, but he suffered. Y'all know he suffered shipwreck. Y'all know that he was left for dead. He was stoned. All type of things happened to Paul. But if you look at his final words, he said, listen, I fought a good fight. He said, I finished my course. I kept the faith. And this is the good part. It says, henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. So you got to go back to 1 Corinthians 58. He said, for as much as we know, our labor is not in vain. In other words, God sees what you're doing. He sees the suffering. He sees the sacrifice. He sees you. He doesn't forget anything that you're doing. He's running it all down. Hallelujah. And when you see him on that blessed day, he'll say, welcome, welcome. Ha. Because when I was sick, you came and saw about me. When I was hungry, you fed me. Hallelujah. You did what I told you to do. You let your light shine. Enter into the joy of the Lord. There's a reason why you're suffering. There's a reason why you're going through. There's a joy at the end of the day. He said, I'll give you a reward. He said, everyone that's faithful, I'll give you a crown of life. You got to know when you're going through and when you're honoring the Lord. Hallelujah. He's honoring you. He's not going to forget what you've done. He's not going to forget your labor of love. He's not going to forget what you are doing for him. Keep on doing it. Hallelujah. In fact, add some more to it. Hallelujah. I told the Lord, I just want to encourage the believers because I know it gets tiring. I know sometimes you feel like, what? They wrote an old song. I don't feel no ways tired. I don't believe he brought me this far to leave me. He says, no one told me the road would be easy. It's not. But God's grace, he said, my grace is sufficient. He's not going to let you go through by yourself. You might be going through in your job. You might not even have a job. Hallelujah. They might get laid off tomorrow. I don't know what you're going through. But he said, I will supply all of your needs according to my riches. Hallelujah. Is that what he says in glory? By Christ Jesus? We serve a God who doesn't have lack. He knows where you are. He knows what you need. He's faithful. God said, faithful is he that calls you. Faithful is he that will do it. And you know, you say, why do you keep quoting the scripture? Because his word cannot lie. Know your word. When the enemy comes up against you like a flood, amen, use the word. When the enemy came against Jesus, he said, it's written.
It's written, he refuted the lies of the enemy and he continued to go on. Even when he was on the cross, he said, forgive them. They don't know what they do. He said, Father, into thy hands I commit my spirit. He finished the assignment. God wants us to finish the assignment that he's given us. And he's given each and every one of us an assignment. Your assignment might not be my assignment, but listen, every part of the body is needed. You need your mouth like you need your ears. You need your ears like you need your hands. You need your hands like you need your feet. There's no part. I might have a mic because I'm part of the mouth and the body. We need all parts to work. When we don't all do our job, it makes it harder. You know, you're handicapping. We need you to do your part. Whatever that part is, we need you to step up. So the word, hallelujah, and your theme, hallelujah, is standing up for God. Not just Christian women's, we need the believers to stand up for God. Stand up. Take a stand. Hallelujah. For God I live, for God I die. I want to give you some encouragement as I close. I just want to let you know every faithful woman, every faithful man, everyone who has served for years without recognition, nobody calling you up, nobody giving you a trophy, nobody patting you on the back, nobody. You were here by yourself when you closed up these doors. Ain't nobody here. You were here when they opened up. Hallelujah. You know what you have been called to do. And sometimes you're not seeing, you know. You're not seeing in yourself, but God sees it. When you do it as unto the Lord, know it's of the Lord you shall receive your reward. The Lord is the one who's keeping the score. And the Lord is the one who's going to elevate you and promote you and bless you. Keep your eyes on the Lord. So I just want to tell you guys today, I forgot to look at the time, y'all. But be steadfast. Unmovable. Don't be one of them Christians that says, is she going to be here today or not? I don't know. Did she call in? I don't know. Anybody see? I don't know. Be faithful. Keep your word. Be a woman of integrity. Amen. If you said it, then keep your word and do it. If you can't call. You know what I'm saying? We're a team. We're a body. And we need you. The song says, I'm closing right now. Song says, I need you to survive. Amen. I need you. You need me. We're all a part of the body. Amen. Stand with me. Right? Agree with me. I need you to survive. Christ needs us to do our part. He's willing to move through us. But we have to present ourselves unto the Lord. Amen. Amen. We are the body of Christ. Amen. We are his hands. We're his feet. We're his mouth. We can't make excuses. When the Lord is moving you to go in one direction, don't cast it off. God needs you. He needs you to make that phone call. He needs you to deliver that cake. He needs you to go check on that sister. He needs check on your strong friends. Amen. He needs you to be obedient. When he's waking you up to pray, he needs you to make that intercession. Don't just roll over and turn back over. When he wants you to send someone that text, he wants you to make that call. That's what he needs. He needs you to be obedient. Stand fast. Don't say, well, I did it last time. They never said nothing. Do it as unto him because he told you to do it. And then you never know. I got to give my personal testimony, sit down. But it's the love of God that drew me. It's the love of God that drew me. For those who don't know my story, you know what? I came up, I had a sexual abuse background in the church. And I was going the wrong way fast. I felt worthless, hopeless. What's the point? In fact, I used the word because I said, well, heaven must be so good. Earth is bad. I might as well go on to kill myself. But let me tell you, God has some Christians. He had a Christian friend. I remember I was in high school. Amen. And I didn't look the part. You know, I was hanging out with the wrong people, doing the wrong things. But this one Christian girl decided to even go against her family because her family said, don't have nothing to do with her. And she said, she's my friend. Can we bring her to church? She would take me to church every Sunday. The family didn't really care for me, but they took me and they took me out to dinner with them. And I just kept coming around because I could see something was different. I could see the love, and I needed love. I needed that. One day she introduced me to, there was a man at her church who was starting a brand new church, and they invited me to come, and I came. And that man turned out to be my pastor. And they were such a kind church. It was a small church. what I needed, because I needed love. I needed accountability. I was running out the door. You couldn't hug me, couldn't touch me, because I was so wounded and so bruised. But because they kept reaching out, it was the love of God that kept drawing me back. Even when I would leave and I'd be so angry, I kept coming back because love reached out to me. Amen. And one day, on my own, I decided I wanted to know this Jesus. I knew that I was a mess. I knew that I had, yes, things had been done against me that were wrong, but I had done stuff too. Amen. Because we all are sinners in need of grace of God. And one day, I decided I wanted Jesus to come into my heart. And I said, if you'll have me, Lord. And he did. But I had so much baggage, so much hurt, so much abuse, so many things that needed to be challenged and checked and changed. You know, it took people that would love me. Not, I was really small and I wore all them clothes. Y'all know, it wasn't modest. It wasn't nothing modest about it, right? And, you know, I had a lot of friends that I would bring to church with me. Y'all can read between the lines. I was not holy, but I had a desire for God. And I kept coming. And you know what? That church didn't put me out. That church accepted me like I was. And they kept on pouring the word of God in me. Hallelujah. And they kept pouring the scriptures into me. It was the scriptures and the love of God that set me free, that convicted me. No one had to tell me to pull my dress down. I started feeling uncomfortable. No one had to tell me, leave that woman's husband alone. I'm like, okay, maybe I shouldn't be bothering that. I'm just being honest. Okay, because I had baggage. Okay, but God is willing to work with you where you are. But he uses people just like us. Amen. To reach the lost. We ain't always been here. Amen. I write my books. I wrote a book called Wounded Hearts Made Whole. And I tell the whole story because someone was just like me. Someone felt less than. Someone felt like they weren't worthy. But God, his love is what draws. And it still draws. But he needs us to be his hands and feet and to love on us. So I want to encourage you, Christians, women who are taking a stand for the Lord. Amen. If you're going to make a difference in this neighborhood, in this culture, on your job, wherever he sends you, you might be the only one, but take a stand. Represent him well. Wear the holy armor of God, not your opinions. If it's not in the book, don't be sharing that. This is the rule book. This is what you go by. This is what draws people to Christ. It's the love. They said, now shall men know that you're my disciples by the love you have one for another. Not because you're so opinionated and you don't want nothing to do with them. Okay? So, and if that's you, it's okay. It's not condemnation. I'm not here to make anyone feel bad. I just want you to look at your heart and see where you need to come up. And if you need to come up, repent. Repent just means to think high again. Say, God, you know what? There's some areas that I know I say I'm a Christian. I know I say the label. But inwardly, I got some areas that need to be checked and challenged. That's between you and the Holy Spirit. But don't deny it. You have to face it in order to replace it. Amen. So I'm done. I just want you to, I'm going to lead you in a prayer of repentance and ask the Holy Spirit to strengthen us that we can continue to do the work that he's called us to do. Amen. Hallelujah. As they're playing this song so beautifully, maybe we can just sing a little bit of it. Is that okay? Hallelujah. We need one another. Lord, Holy Spirit, we need you so much. Father God, on this blessed day that you set aside just to talk to your daughters, talk to the body. Father God, we submit ourselves unto you. Lord, we live in a culture that just like the Corinthians, they're questioning and just throwing out the word of God like it can be compromised. But there's no compromise. God, you said what you meant. Hallelujah, Father God. And I pray that we'll have holy boldness and courage, Father God, to take a stand for you, Father God. Not in anger, not be antagonistic, but Father God, that we will love on you, Father God. And the love that you have poured in our heart, let it pour out to our neighbors. Let it pour out to our coworkers, our family members, God. Let them see you in us, Father God. Hallelujah. As we take a stand, Lord, you said be steadfast, unmovable, and to always abound in the work of the Lord. God, let us find ourselves abounding in you. Not saying, well, that's what I used to do. Well, I don't do that no more. That devil is a lie. Hallelujah. Lord, we go higher in you. We recommit our lives to you, God. We ask you to take us up to the next level. Let our lives make a difference. Hallelujah, God. Like, Lord, when we were at the midwives, Father God, they didn't care.
fear. When the king said, Lord, they said, I don't care, I fear God. And I'm going to do what God tells me to do. Like Biddy, she could have been angry and bitter. But she said, I'm going to use the rest of my life to serve the Lord. Hallelujah. Look at the legacy that she left. Oh, God, I pray right now, Father God, the time that we have left, that we will dedicate our life to you, that we'll be faithful, Father God, the work that you've called us to do. Let us